Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Boy, have we got a big docket for you today. First, that's right, Lori Vallow is competent. Looks like I got that one wrong. I didn't think she was going to be joining us. And then, let's talk about the scathing order in the Barry Morphew matter. If I was the district attorney, I'm not sure I'd go back to court. And then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich. This is Crime Talk. Thanks for joining us. You know the drill. If you like the video, obviously hit that like button. Subscribe if you haven't. Leave me a comment below. And as always, share and tell all your friends about Crime Talk. And if you haven't done so, you can also listen to us by downloading us on your favorite podcasting app. All right, let's get to the docket. Boy, has anything happened today? I don't know. Just one of the busiest days I've had the entire year in court. The biggest news breaking, that's right, Lori Noreen Vallow, aka Lori Noreen Vallow Daybell, has been found competent. Now, it's been what, 6, 7, 8 months that she has been at the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare trying to be restored to competency? Well, you know, there was that hearing last week. Guess what? Judge Boyce says, in his order, dated April 11th, that Ms. Vallow Daybell is restored to competency and is fit to proceed. And it says that the defendant shall be brought before this court to be arraigned, and that the order staying this case is hereby lifted, and that the defendant, Lori Vallow, is being transported from the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare and sent back to and remanded to the custody of the Fremont County Sheriff. All right, so Lori Vallow's little vacation is over. Now, what does that really mean? Well, first, it means we're going to have an arraignment on April 19th. We'll see if her attorney may ask to extend that, since because she's basically been restored to competency, it's a competency miracle that he may want time to confer with her, see if she truly understands what's going on. Because remember, competency can be raised at any time throughout the proceedings. If Lori Vallow was restored to competency, and I'm not a doctor, I'm just guessing because this is what I've seen in the past, drugs, lots and lots of drugs, okay? That's more than likely what restored her to competency to now be able to assist in her defense, okay? If she stops taking those medications, we may be right back where we are. It'll be interesting to see. Like I said, nobody stays at the state hospital that long if somebody was, in fact, malingering. I've said this before. The professionals can weed that out. That's why I was very skeptical of the fact that I thought that Lori Vallow would, in fact, be restored to competency. We will have to wait and see. I assure you, the 19th, we will all be watching to see how Lori Vallow looks, to see if she has aged, maybe to see if those roots have all grown out now and she is a brunette. We will have to wait and see. But it means the case can start moving forward. Remember, now that she's going to be arraigned, there is 6 months from the date that she says not guilty for the state to get her to trial. Well, the court has already made rulings saying, oh, that's not enough time for the defense to prepare. Hence the reason the matter is now set into January of 2023. I don't think that she will demand to go within the 6 months. The attorneys will more than likely need the time to prepare. But that's what happens when your co-conspirators are charged. You know, one ruling affects kind of everybody. So assuming they can keep Lori Vallow competent, assuming she doesn't take some sort of a guilty plea, then looks like she's going to trial with Chad Daybell, her husband, her beau, in January of 2023. I can't wait. Let's hope the Judge Boyce puts his hammer down and says these dates for motions and filing deadlines are solid. There's going to be definite dates for hearings to take place. And if people aren't proceed, guess what? It's not going forward. Okay? It's going to get interesting. We'll obviously talk about it more tomorrow and definitely when we go live at 6 p.m. Mountain Time for our live show After Dark, 6 p.m. Mountain Time every Tuesday night. Like many Americans, we got a dog during the pandemic. My quarantine dog, Miss Winnie the Bulldog. Now, Miss Winnie has grown accustomed to being around us all the time. When we were leaving the house, Winnie would have extreme anxiety, so we decided to look for natural products to help with her anxiety. We looked for the highest quality CBD treats, and we were not satisfied, and neither was Winnie. So we created a high-quality CBD product that absorbs faster and provides the required results faster. Baked in Colorado, CBD treats and beverage enhancers are made with nanotechnology. The nanotechnology makes the CBD extraction more pure, also allows for Baked in Colorado products to work faster. Baked in Colorado products can help reduce your pet's anxiety, ease joint pain, and help with your dog's skin problems. Go to our online store and see what Baked in Colorado product is best for your dog. When you order at bakedincolorado.com, enter code Winnie and receive 15% off your first order. We have a 30-day money-back guarantee. If your dog does not experience the desired results in 30 days, return the product and we will refund your money. No questions asked. Next on the docket, let's talk about the scathing order that was issued in the Barry Morphew matter. Okay, now this is the order dated April 8th. So that was Friday. Okay. And it's order regarding defense motion 17, defendant's renewed motion for discovery and contempt sanctions and forthwith hearing. Then it's kind of a combined order, DA 17A, supplement DA defense 17B, C, and D. Okay. The prosecutor has one job. Okay. When you file a case, you are telling the court, the defendant, that we are ready to go to trial. Okay? And you don't file a case unless you know the case is ready to go to trial, or at least you can get it made during that time. Okay? Now, the court issued an order like one I have not seen. Okay? And over the years, of course, every defense attorney has asked for sanctions, but more than likely it's not going to happen, particularly in a first-degree murder case. Okay? Normally it's a small-level matter. Small piece of evidence is excluded, but for the most part, that's it. On a felony case, it just doesn't happen. The DAs would have to work pretty darn hard to get sanctioned by a court. Well, the attorneys for the prosecution in the People v. the State of Barry Morphew have achieved that. They have been catapulted to the level where the court has basically said there's a pattern of noncompliance with the court's orders. And therefore, like I told you in previous videos, I don't think he was going to dismiss the case because that's an extreme sanction, but he can gut it. And I think gut it he did. Okay, let's go through a couple. Now, you have to remember, this order is 23 pages long. I should probably read it to you word for word, but maybe I'll do that on some other occasion. But I want to hit some of the big highlights, okay? The first part of the order, the judge is going to give some background. And I think it's rather notable, just for background for people who aren't familiar with this case. The court notes that on May 4th, Alex Walker authorized a 129-page affidavit in support of the arrest of Barry Morphew on suspicion of homicide along with other charges. Now, the affidavit states numerous agents from CBI reviewed and edited the affidavit, but failed to state that the Bureau did not support the arrest of Mr. Morphew. Notably, as of May 4th of 2021, law enforcement had still not determined the source of the unknown male DNA found throughout the crime scene. The affidavit failed to inform the judge of said DNA and that Barry Morphew was excluded as the source. Ultimately, Chief Judge Murphy found probable cause and set the case over, and basically Mr. Morphew was arrested on May 5th. On May 19th, 2021, the people disclosed a CODIS. That's the whole database system for DNA matters. And there was a match and a letter to the defense indicating the unknown source of the DNA may be linked to other unsolved out-of-state sexual assaults in Tempe, Phoenix, and Chicago. Meanwhile, Mr. Morphew remained in custody, unable to post bond pending his preliminary hearing and his hearing to determine whether the proof was evident and the presumption was great. It goes on. On September 17th of 2021, the court issued its ruling, finding the proof was not evident and the presumption not great. The court specifically found that the unknown male DNA profile was particularly significant because while it doesn't prove a stranger abduction theory, it does at least support it. Accordingly, the bond was set and the case has progressed forward. Okay. The court then goes through a pretty detailed timeline. He goes through the relevant witness testimony. And like I said, I could read this and maybe we'll do that for tomorrow. Be a great podcast. But then let's get to the good stuff. We get to page 12. The court finds a pattern of violations. Okay, this is not good. If you're reading this language and you're the attorney on the other end of it, not good. The court states on page 12 of 20, it is clear to this court, there is a pattern of discovery violations in this case attributable to the people. That's the prosecutor. The court defines a pattern from the Black's Law Dictionary that says a mode of behavior or series of acts that are recognizably consistent. The people's first discovery and disclosure-related violations occurred on July 22nd of 2021, while Chief Judge Murphy was still assigned to the case. These violations continue and are ongoing. As recently as March 30th, 2022, less than a month before trial is set to begin, the court found another Rule 16 violation related to an expert report of Doug Spence. Over the last 8 months and over multiple days of hearing, the court has witnessed a pattern of disregard by the people towards its Rule 16 obligations. The court's case management order and subsequent court disclosure related orders made on the record. This court has repeatedly noted it does not in any way condone the people's behavior. The behavior has, in the court's eyes, been recognizably consistent. While the court, for the reasons stated below, does not find this pattern willful based on the record, the court does find the pattern to be negligent, bordering on reckless. Ouch. Ouch. When the judge is saying that you're negligent, aka almost reckless, if they did not work for the state, they would be contacting their malpractice carriers at this very moment, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? That is not good. That is bad. Okay? Expert witness disclosures. There are almost too many to go into, but let's just hit a couple of them. On March 10th of 2022, this court found numerous violations of Rule 16 and its case management order as it relates to the people's expert disclosure. The court specifically found exclusion was appropriate because there was a pattern of discovery violations. The court, in issuing its oral ruling, noted Judge Murphy's previous Rule 16 finding and violations of the case management order of July 2021. On February 24, 2022, at a separate hearing, the defense asked the court to exclude all the people's experts because they missed the expert disclosure deadline of February 14th of 2022. The people conceded at the hearing that they missed the February 14, 2022 disclosure deadline while arguing that Rule 16 deadlines of 35 days before trial somehow usurp Judge Murphy's case management authority and rendered the case management order superfluous. Ouch. On February 24, 2022, notwithstanding the violation of the court's granting the people's request for a short extension of up to and including February 28th to comply with the expert disclosures, the court denied the defense motion to strike. The court warned the people, however, of two things. One, the court in no way condones the people's behavior and will not entertain any further extension to the people's expert disclosure deadlines. On March 10th, the court addressed defendant's motion to exclude. After conducting a hearing, the court found the people missed the extended deadline of February 28, 2022 for numerous expert witnesses. The court also found there was a pattern of discovery violations and imposed a sanction to deter future violations. The court prohibited the people from calling those experts whose reports and opinions were not turned over to the defense by February 28, 2022. However, the court noted some of those witnesses may still be called in a lay witness capacity. Other experts were permitted to provide expert testimony, but would be restricted to the four corners of their reports and summaries, which means they can't get into anything else. Well, shouldn't be in the report. And understand, ladies and gentlemen, the court's case management order, it's not a request. It's not a would you please comply. It's a court order. You have to comply. And the prosecution told the judge, we don't need to listen to your order. We're just going to follow the more general rule here in the rules of criminal procedure, Rule 16. Okay, you go with that. Didn't quite work out. So what does the court conclude? The court finds a continuing pattern by the people of an inability and failure to comply with Rule 16 obligations, as well as the court's case management orders. The court finds the people's actions amount to negligent and arguably reckless disregard for their Rule 16 obligations and duty to abide by court orders. The court does not find, based upon the record, the people's actions amount to willfulness. I'd be a little, huh? And defense requests the following sanctions: dismissal of the case, reduce the charges, set reasonable bond, and reimbursement of attorney's fees and costs for the time and expenses incurred. The court finds the following as relates to that. One, on March 10th, the court sanctioned the people for their continued violations related to expert disclosures and excluded numerous expert witnesses. The court excluded the following prosecution witnesses: Megan Doogie, D-U-G-E, Andrew McDermott, Kevin Holyland, excluded as an expert witness, James Stephen, Kenneth Hicks, Alex Walker, Andy Rorich, Jonathan Grusing, Derek Graham, Ken Harris, not permitted to provide expert testimony, free to provide lay opinions, which is very, you know, lay opinions are not anything that's scientifically based. It's more of an observation. Have you ever seen anybody drunk? Yes, I have. Based upon your observations and your life experience, were you able to say somebody was in fact intoxicated? Okay, that is a lay opinion. How fast do you think the car was going? Oh, I don't know, at least 50 miles an hour. Lay opinion, not anything scientific whatsoever. Caitlin Rogers may provide expert testimony, but restricted to the four corners. Then on March 30th, the court excluded another proffered expert witness, Mr. Doug Spence, albeit based upon the stipulation of the people. And the court goes on, it says, these sanctions on March 10th and 30th, 2022, effectively excluded 11 of the 16 of the people's endorsed expert witnesses. Three additional experts were excluded on other grounds. So that's 14 of the 16 witnesses, expert witnesses, the people were going to call. Court finds the exclusion of these witnesses amounts to a significant sanction, but one that was warranted based upon the record, i.e. the prosecution. Now, considering the witness, the court concludes that he does not find a reduction of the charges to be appropriate remedy. That's unusual because it's an extreme remedy. And the court does not have any discretion to actually dismiss the court case. We've talked about this before. Only the prosecutor can dismiss this case. The court doesn't have the authority to do so. And the court does not find reducing Mr. Morphy's bond is appropriate, but I think that's an interesting request because he probably needs some of that money for attorney's fees. And the court goes on and says the internal affairs file is denied relating to any request for sanctions as people did not have a constructive possession of the file. And the people failed yet again to comply with the court's disclosure deadlines related to the data. That's in regards to the Range Rover data. Court also finds that the motivation behind removing Agent Cahill from the case, the court does not find a discovery violation. However, the defense is free to inquire about it at trial before the jury, which means one thing, ladies and gentlemen, fair game for cross-examination. And when the lead detective is up there on the stand, the former lead detective who was basically fired because he told the district attorney, don't file this case yet, that could go pretty well for the defense. Anyway, we'll talk about that a little more next time. And finally today, ladies and gentlemen, with all the busy stuff and serious stuff of the world, well, something on a little bit lighter note, unless you're, of course, the cat of Susan Freudenthal, okay? She is a woman in Florida who allegedly beat her girlfriend with their cat. That's right, Susan Freudenthal and her girlfriend were apparently fighting over some fidelity issues and their shared residence. Freudenthal grabbed one of the cats during the argument and held it up to the victim's face, swearing on the life of the animal that she was not cheating. The cat became distressed and scratched the victim. Freudenthal was arrested for domestic battery, a misdemeanor, and was released from the county jail on her own recognizance. Now, the arrest report listed the weapon used during the domestic battery as a feline. Okay? Now, we're certainly not condoning the use or abuse of any kind of animal whatsoever. We don't just don't need that kind of trouble, all right? But at least it wasn't food, right? I mean, you gotta admit, it's kind of a twist on things. She didn't like hold up a cheeseburger and threaten her. She picked up the cat. Anyway, Miss Frudenthal, you are a dumb criminal of the day. Congratulations. Hey, thanks for watching. And why don't you go ahead and support our sponsors that support this show. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.